Certainly one of the, I guess you might say, forgotten period of time in baseball is when the Negro Leagues were playing. It was a time when this country was not very open-minded when it came to racial relations, but there were a lot of outstanding athletes who played in the Negro Leagues, and one of them joins us right now, Reginald Howard. He played second base in the Negro Leagues with the Indianapolis Clowns in the 1950s, and I know, Reginald, that you grew up in South Bend, Indiana, back in 1934. You were born and raised there. You had a couple of brothers, a sister. Your father was a tailor and worked with a dry cleaning store that he had. Tell me a little bit about growing up in that part of the country and your early love for baseball.
Oh, boy, you really done your homework, haven't you? I grew up in an environment, I always say, in an environment of addicts, baseball addicts. And that's all we talked about was baseball. My father loved baseball. My uncle, Hubert Mitchell, he was an outfielder with the Memphis Red Sox here in the 20s. So and we had about 4 ex-Negro League players in that city. And they had, it was just a wealth of knowledge. And I was so inquisitive and always asking questions. What's this was that put me pretty much into that area. And Uncle Mitch owned a pool room, and he had real nice tables, 6 or 7 tables in there. And approximately a block north of where his pool room was a hotel, Hodges Hotel, where most of the black teams played. In fact, all of them stayed there. And somehow they would gravitate down to his pool room, to play pool, in between games. And I would, because I was his nephew, I had proximity to everybody. Because Mitch had played, again, back in the 20s, but he knew a lot of the traveling secretaries and the managers and the bus drivers and that kind of thing. So I was right there with it. So, and being an inquisitive as I was just always asking questions and trying to find out what was going on.
Let me ask you a question, and that is that you mentioned about your family were big-time baseball fans. Was that big-time baseball fans of the Negro Leagues, or was it of...
Oh, yes. We couldn't wait for the Chicago Defender and the Pittsburgh Courier to come in where we could get box scores on them. And it was always a week late, but still, it was baseball. And the Major Leagues, too, but just baseball, period. Incidentally, I didn't want to play the St. Louis Cardinals. I didn't want to play for the New York Yankees. I wanted to play for Uncle Jim's team. Uncle Jim was Candy Jim Taylor, the manager of the Chicago American Giants. That's what I wanted to play for. when I was a child growing up, this is just before Robinson entered into organized ball.
Let me ask you about the character of Negro League baseball when you got interested in it as you watched it grow over the years. What was the character of the game? What differentiated it from the white game that was being played in Major League Baseball?
I think speed was much more meaningful in the black leagues. I always say, and I tell people this all the time, and I'm not saying that one league was better than the other league, but I will say this. The speed, strength, quickness, and agility, for the most part, was in the Negro League. And these are the guys who took stand-up doubles and tournaments, sliding triples, scoring first on balls, gaps in the outfield, that kind of thing. It was more of an up-tempo type game. They hit and run more. They stole more bases. And in addition to that, at that time, if you take Central America or Latin America, the 5 major questions, countries that we get most of our players from, we're getting from a lot of other countries, but the majors were Cuba, the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Panama, and Venezuela. Well, those players were not permitted to play for a long period of time in what was called white organized ball. So where did they play? They played in the Negro League. I'm providing you with this information so you can take on yourself. Where do you think the best talent was?
Yeah, I have read, and as I studied the Negro Leagues, one thing that struck me, and it jumped out at me, and I don't know whether this is just my perspective or my ignorance on it, but as I look at the batting averages of players in the Negro Leagues, how they were 375, 385, a plethora of names batting that way, and yet I knew the pitching in the Negro Leagues was very, very good as well. What is it, I mean, that made them so good collectively in both hitting and pitching?
Well, no, you didn't get the full story. And the full story is this. Negro League baseball was played Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Monday through Thursday, they barnstormed. These were the days. Friday, Saturday, blacks were played on Friday. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they could go to games. So during the week, they were maybe on the plantations and weren't working. They couldn't get in town to go to games. Hopefully, you're following what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're right.
They played on the weekends.
Yeah.
And during the week, they would come to South Bend and play the two bigger team. Or they go down to Fort Wayne and play Fort Wayne Allendale, or up to Benton Harbor, play Benton Harbor Bulls, or the St. Joe Oscars, St. Joe Michigan Oscars. They'll play the white teams during, and then Sunday they get back to the Friday they get back to the Negro League teams. So they only play three games a week. So you're looking at maybe 300 bats, 300 at bats. That's why those averages are so high. Since the at bats is what takes your average down. When you're playing every day.
One of the things that I do know that there, you know, as many as there were black fans, there was a large amount of white fans that would watch the Negro Leagues as well. What was the atmosphere like at a Negro League baseball game?
Well, it depends on who was playing, who was there, and you would have a lot of whites there. In fact, well, to give you a narrative, and a lot of people around the world, the perennial second-place Washington Senators playing in Griffith Stadium in 77 games a season would not draw as much as the Homestead Grays, who played in the same park, and they would only play 20 to 23 games a season there. So the Grays won 9 consecutive Negro National League pennants from 1937 to 1945. I mean, this is Boochie Wilson, Sam Bankhead, Howard Eastman, Josh Gibson, Buck Leonard, Krupp up there, those type of players. And they were just dynamite.
Let me ask you a question from a societal standpoint. As I thought about this and thinking about talking to you, am I correct in assuming that for African-Americans, black people of this country during that period of time, this was almost an equality move, being able to play the game and being able to watch it, because the whites had their game, but African-Americans had their game as well, and it put them on an equal level with the white people?
Hey, we had nothing else. There was no NBA. There was no National Football League. But we had a Negro Baseball League. That's all we had. So if you take the athletes that are playing baseball today, and they turn them over into, playing football and basketball and turn them into baseball, you'd have the same scenario. We would be dominating in baseball the same way we're dominating in the other sports, but we're not playing baseball.
I want to talk about that a little bit later on, but I also want to talk about your close friend, Candy Jim Taylor. You alluded to him a little bit earlier, legendary Negro League manager. Tell me a little bit about his history.
I loved Uncle Jim. Everybody called him Uncle Jim, Oscar Charleston, Buck O'Neill, all the other managers. Everybody called him Uncle Jim. I don't know. I was as close to Uncle Jim as a kid can be, a child can be to an adult man. And for some reason, we hit it off. He come through. I was like the visiting team bad boy for all the black teams that came in here into South Bend to play the Studebaker team. And again, I met up with Jim when they came in, and we hit it off. And so I go to Chicago periodically to see him. And in fact, I worked the East-West game in 1946 and 47, which was the All-Star game. But he was just somebody I love. I used to love to even talk to umpires. Ooh, he could talk so bad.
What do you remember most about growing up as a bat boy? And you were a bat boy at several Negro League All-Star games, as you said, in the late 40s. What do you remember most about those games?
Just looking at these magnificent players. And I remember 47 in particular. Piper hit so many balls out in VP during batting practice that they stopped batting practice. You know, they weren't throwing balls away like they do now every other inning. And it was just a wealth of talent. Yeah, I enjoyed every minute, every second of it.
I can imagine that you would. Reginald, hold on just a second. Very special guest with us, Reginald Howard. He played second base in the Negro Leagues with the Clowns back in the 1950s. He was born and raised in South Bend, Indiana, and as you heard him say, his whole family were big-time baseball fans. And when we come back on the other side, one of the things that I learned in my research for this interview was that almost everybody in the Negro Leagues had nicknames, and I've got to find out why and what were some of the most unusual, colorful ones. And we'll do that as we continue across the country and around the world. It's good to have you with us here on Sports Byline.